Morning. Today's daf in Shavuos is Mem Tes, final daf of Masechta. We are starting today on Mem Ches Amud Beis, right at the two dots of Eilu Nishbaim, and these are the people making sure. Yesterday, the Gemara went into a really lengthy discussion. Machlok is Rav and Shmuel against other Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael, how to collect from one estate to another estate. There are problems, there are considerations to be made that when you collect from an estate, you have to make a shua. The principal lender makes one type of shua, and meanwhile his descendants only make another type of shua. And the question became whether or not you can go from a bona fide shua to a much less secure shua. So that was a big discussion yesterday's daf, and that took up a good part of yesterday's daf. We're starting now Eilu Nishbaim. We're quoting now a section from the Mishnah. This parak, like many of the parakim in the Masechta, this is the seventh parak that we're finishing up right now. We're gonna finish two parakim today. I don't get to say that a lot in the Daf Yomi, but it's, you know, that's what's gonna happen today. We're gonna finish two parakim. So as we're finishing up the seventh parak, so like many of the parakim in the Masechta, all the Mishnayos are front loaded. The Mishnayos are placed all the way at the beginning, and then the Gemara chews on each section of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah pointed out that these are the people make a shua, and there's no taina and there's no claim. To which the Gemara asked such a wonderful question, not to b'shutfani, b'shuftani askinan. So what are we dealing with? Dealing with foolish people, meaning no claiming is made against me, but wait, you know what? I'll go to court and I'll swear. What are you doing? If nobody's making a claim against you, so don't go to court and don't swear. And the person who does so is foolish. And the Gemara basically says, I can't imagine that we're dealing with foolish people. The Mishnah is not addressing them. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, obviously, that's not the Pshat in the Mishnah. What is Pshat in the Mishnah? Eilu Nishbaim, Shelo Betanis Bari, Ela Betanis Shema. So the Pshat in the Mishnah, which I'm sure when I read the Mishnah, I said this Pshat, either because I knew the Gemara, remember the Gemara, or intuition, whichever the case is. But in other words, it's not a Tainas Bari, meaning there is not a definitive claim made against you, but even a Tainas Shema, even though there's a little bit of suspicion. And basically, I take him to court, and you are allowed to say, in these circumstances, I'm suspicious. And generally speaking, the court will look at you and say, that's very nice. I'm very happy for you. And now please go home. But under these circumstances, however, the court's going to entertain a taina shema, even though the claim is made out of suspicion. So the Gemara says, El b'taina shema, shufim v'arisim. So the partnership or sharecropper, tana. Ben Bais, Amr Losh, Nichnas Vyotse, Baraglav. Now, when we're talking about a Ben Bais, we're not talking about somebody who comes in and out. But Ella, Machzus, Opoalim, Matzel, Opoalim. The one who hires the workers, the one who fires the workers. Machzus, Loparis, Matzel, Paris. The one who makes the purchases, the one who sells the produce. Basically, your CEO, your COO, your, in other words, anybody who has executive powers within your corporation. I don't mean corporation like in the more modern sense. But in other words, in your house, somebody who is in charge of buying and selling, the Yosef of your house, if you will. Okay, if you like the Chumash reference. But basically, those people, they're the people now who you take him to court and you say, you know what, I have a suspicion and I'd like him to make a shua. Well, Maishna Hani, so the Gemara says, now why? In other words, why are these people going to be making a shua, even though the accusation, the charge made against them is only a Tainas Shema, not a Tainas Bari, Mishum Demor Behatera. So the Gemara says, yeah, because they're Morahatera. They, Rashi says over here very succinctly, they work so hard. So you know what, I work so hard, Magili, I'm entitled. Okay, so in other words, I know we're sharing some of the profit, and I know that we're going to be making a division of the profit, but you know what? I'm really entitled to a salary. I know we didn't agree to a salary. I know he didn't tell me that I could take a salary, but I work really hard. So you know what? I'll take a little bit off the top. Let's call it my salary. Okay, that's fair. It's fair if you negotiated it and you agreed to it. It's not fair if you didn't negotiate it and you didn't agree to it, and that's why the person has to make a shua. I'm Rav Yosef bar Minyumi, I'm Rav Nachman v'ushi yesh tainas b'nayhu, shtei kesef. Now the Gemara says, now, even though it's true that a tainas shema can engender a shvua, that part's true, but what kind of claim needs to be made? So in other words, even though generally speaking, when we're talking about a monetary claim, we're talking a small court claim, so it could even be a shava pruta in general. However, as we learned earlier in this Masechta, when we're talking about a modem b'miksa shvua, so a modem b'miksa shvua has to be substantial. How substantial? So shtei maos. Shtei maos is going on what? So you remember machlokes between Rav and Shmuel that we had earlier in the Masechta. It's going on the original claim, it's going on the denial. So, but in any event, though, it has to be shtei maos. So what the Gemara says over here is that even when making a claim of suspicion against your sharecropper, against your partner, and even though he has to make a shvua, but the claim has to still be at least Shtei Maos, Shtei Kesef. So Kamankish.
The claim is the Shtei Kesef is but Shemu or the Shtei Kesef is Vadai?
No, Shemu.
Oh.
Shemu.
He said that you didn't steal two Kesef.
Yeah, I think you did. I think you did. So the Gemara says now, Kaman Kishmuel. So the Gemara says now, the Gemara over here gets caught a little bit on a technicality, meaning we know the Shtei Kesef, and we know also the machloks between Rav and Shmuel. So when you're saying the Shtei Kesef is going on the Taina, so does that mean that we're citing like Shmuel, Vatini Rabbi Chilas, Yul Rav? On the other hand, however, early in the Masechta, Rabbi Chia brought a support for Rav. Rav says that the Shtei Kesef is not going on the Taina, but it's going on the Kfira. So Ema Kfir is Taina Karav. So the Gemara says, okay, so in other words, so in order for the Shvua to be required, the Taina Shema has to be at least where the denial is Shtei Kesef. So fine, and I'm going to be passing like Rav, not like Shmuel. Okay. Chalko Hashutfim Barisim. So the Gemara now asks a very basic question. Ibai Luhu Maula Gago B'Rabbanan. Look, we know that there's this concept of Gilgul Shvua. I require you to make a Shvua, so what you're going to do is that you're going to make a Shvua not only on that which I require you to do, but even on other claims that I make against you, and even if those other claims don't require a Shvua, I can make you make a Shvua on those as well. And this is a principle, this is a concept of Gilgul Shvua. We learned it from the Parsha of Sota, we learned it extensively in Masechta Sota, we touched on it a couple times over here in our Masechta as well, and that's fine. Meaning, an example, I'll give you a quick example that we learned earlier in our Masechta. Meaning, let's say I'm making a claim on movables and on property. Now, on property itself, you can't make a shvua on property. We learned property is one of the items in which there's an exemption from a shvua. But let's say I have two claims against you. One where there would require a shvua daraisa. Let's say it's modem and mixas. Now that I got you on the hook for a shvua, you know what? I also have a claim against you on property. I can make you make a shvua on property. This is the concept of Gilgul Shvua. Now what the Gemara wants to know is, can I get a Gilgul Shvua going if, let's say, the original Shvua is a Shvua d'Rabbanan? Oh, that's a good question. So in other words, so now the starting point is a Shvua d'Rabbanan, meaning min haTorah, the Torah does not recognize such a Shvua. The Shvua is only done because it's a rabbinic institution. And so now, within this rabbinic institution, can we now start a Gilgul Shvua if the originator of the Gilgul Shvua is a Shvua d'Rabbanan, not a Shvua d'Araisa? Gemara's question, it's a basic question, it's fundamental, Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider now the following brisa. Lavei menu erev shvius l'motzei shvius nasalo shutaf, o aris. Let's say I lent money from him. And let's say the loan started before the Shemitah year and then it concluded after the Shemitah year. Now, of course, we know that means that if it concluded after the Shemitah year, that means there's no more loan, meaning loan dissolves, right? That's what Shemitah does. Shemitah cancels the loan. After the Shemitah year comes and goes, after the Shemitah year comes and goes, so then we start a partnership, or I become a sharecropper, which is another form of a partnership. Ein Megaglin. So now, if let's say, through the partnership, now we have a Shvua going, meaning I challenge him on what I think he stole money from me, Taina Shema, and now because it's a partnership, so therefore he has to make a Shvua. So, ein megagalin. I can't be megagal Shvua on the loan. Now, why can't I be megagal Shvua on the loan? Because the loan's gone. Taima de lava imen or shvius v'edas yishvius afkasei ashash neshavu megagalin. The deal over here is really simple. It's only because there's no more loan. Had there been a loan, so what I could have done is with the Shvua of the Shutaf, or the Shvua of an Aris, which is a Shvua de Rabbanan, in general, I could be megagel a shvua on something else as well. Sounds pretty clear. At least the diuk seems pretty clear that you can do gilgul shvua even on the rabbanan. So the Gemara says, "Lo tema hashar shnei shvua megagelin." So the Gemara says, "Well, you know what? Maybe that's not the point of the brisa, but rather ela ema nasa l'shutav araris der shvius l'motzi shvius lava imenu megagelin." So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe what the brisa is trying to tell me is as follows. Let's invert. Let's flip." Let's first have the partnership or the sharecropper, and let's now say that Shemitah comes and goes. Afterwards, a simple halva, a simple loan, where there is now a shvur requirement, and let's say the shvur requirement is minatara. Right? Let's say it's modem and mixas. Let's say the shvur requirement is minatara. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances now, I can make a gilgul shvua from the shvur of Raisa onto the aris and onto the shutav. And consider, meaning what would be the point then? Point is like this. What gets canceled by Shemitah? Loans get canceled by Shemitah,
right,
but not obligations. If somebody owes me a money, for example, we were sharecroppers and we're going to share a profit. The profit that's entitled to me as a shareholder, that doesn't get canceled in Shemitah. Only loans get canceled in Shemitah. And maybe then what the whole point of the Brisa is that when you have obligations that are coming from being a shareholder, that of course does not get canceled by the Shemitah. And maybe that's the entire point of the Brisa. The Gemara says, Habeheja Ketanila. Gemara says, that's not the diuk to make in the Brisa. I'll tell you why it's not a diuk to make in the Brisa. Because read the next lines of the Brisa, which we're about to do right now. The Brisa actually says this case. So the Gemara says, that's the second half of the Brisa. So you can't make a diuk in the first half of the Brisa only to come out with what is actually stated in the next part of the Brisa. So in other words, so if there's a diuk to make in the first half of the Brisa, it has to be what we originally suggested. That the whole point of the first half of the Brisa is that a person can make a Gilgul Shvua, even though the starting point is a Shvua Derabbanan. Shema Minah, Megagalan Derabbanan, Shema Minah. So the Gemara comes really quickly to a decision on this question of whether or not you could do Gilgul Shvua from a Derabbanan. And the Gemara says emphatically, yes, you can. Now, Amar Rav Huna, Lechol Megagalan Chutz Meischir. And the Gemara now notes, as we are coming to a conclusion of the seventh parak of the Masechta, with one notable exception. Meaning there are a lot of Shvuos Derabbanan. See, if you go back to the Mishnah, Mem Hei, at the beginning of Perek Shvi'i, the seventh Perek, so you'll note in the beginning of the seventh Perek that there are a lot of Shvuos Derabbanan. Starts off, the Perek starts off with five Shvuos Derabbanan, Sachir Nigzal Nechbal, Shechenegdu Chal Shel Shvuah, and Chenvani Al Pinkaso. And then the Mishnah goes through each one of them. Then the Mishnah also gives a whole bunch of other examples of Shvuos Derabbanan, Shutfim, Marisim, Mapetrovsim, Isha, Nosev, and Asem, Besoch, Abayis, Uben Abayis, Uben Abayis. So the Mishnah, nine, right? The nine different Shvuos Derabbanans that we learned back on in the beginning of the Perek. So the Gemara now points out that yes, you can be Megalgal Shvuah on a Shvuos Derabbanan. That part's true, with one notable exception. Chutz Misachir, Shein Megalgalin. You're not Megalgal on a Shvuah Sachir. Why not? Rashi over here writes as follows. It's the top Rashi on the Amud. Rashi says, "Al yidei kol shvuah derabbanan megagalin chutz me al yidei shvuah sachir she'ein megagan alav el yadei shvuah acheres lefi shehi atzma eino min adin." Rashi has a really interesting formulation. Shvuah sachir, when you are working and you're an employee and you're entitled to your wages and you're claiming that your boss didn't pay you, so the truth of the matter is, says Rashi, you should get paid even without a shvua. Meaning your claim is so strong that he didn't pay you, that really you should be able to collect without a shvua. And so why are you making a shvua? I read the rest of the Rashi. So the only reason why you're making a shvua is just simply to appease and to assuage the employer. But truth be told, is that you don't really even have to make a shvua. So in other words, of the shvuas, the Rabbanans, this is a weak, an extraordinarily weak Shvuah Derabbanan. So if it's a formal Shvuah Derabbanan, meaning all the other Shvuah Derabbanan that were introduced in the seventh parak of this Masechta, so those are formal institutions, those are real Shvuah Derabbanan. And as a result of that, you want to create a Gilgul Shvuah based on that, you may do so. However, a Shvuah Sachir is so weak, it's so diluted, it's not even really needed. So as a result of that, you can't be Megalgal Shvuah from a Shvuah Sachir. Rav Chista Amar Lechol Ein Makilin Chutz Meschir De Makilin. Now Rav Chista basically says the same thing, right? Or Rashi says he. It's really the same point that was made previously, and that is that you could be Mekel, meaning making a Gilgul Shvuah on all the other Shvuahs Chutz Meschir, with exception to Shvuah Sachir, which you can't do. You can't make a Gilgul Shvuah based on Shvuah Sachir. My Beinayu. Now the Gemara here is bothered by a simple question, and that is that Rav Chista is really saying the same thing as Rav Huna. Rav Huna and Rav Chista are making essentially the same point, that Shvuot Sachir is notably a weaker form of Shvuot than any of the other Shvuot, the Rabbanan, and therefore you can't be Megalgal Shvuot, and it's basically the same point. And is there any differentiation? Ike Beinayu, the Gemara says, yes. There's a subtle difference. Liftoach lo. And that is as follows. If, let's say, that the Tohen, the one who's making a claim, doesn't have this idea, is not struck with this idea of Gogol Shvuah. He doesn't know about it. Is Beis Din basically going to nudge him and say, look, you got him? Meaning you're in a position now where he's now, you're now making him, requiring him to make a Shvuah Derabbanan. Now, you know what? Now's an excellent opportunity. Meaning, you have now an opportunity to, if you have any other claim against him, you can have him make a Shvuah on any of these other claims. Is Beis Din going to be towing on your behalf and suggest to you that Gogol Shvuah would be a great idea right now? And Rashi points out, so where does Rav Huna and Rav Chisna stand on this issue? So I'm reading the last Rashi on the Perek. So if you subscribe to the Rav Huna formulation of Migalgalin, Migalgalin sounds like it's an active form, meaning, yeah, this is a great idea. Meaning, you have him. You're in a position now where he's going to make a Shvuah Derabbanan. Migalgalin. So basically, Beis Din will basically say to him, now's a good time. If you have any other claim against him, you can have him make a Shvuah on any of the other claims. Masha Enkin, according to Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda Rashi says, Laman Darmein Mekilim, Im Tan Gilgal In Makilin Alav, Ela Megalgalin Ve'im Lo Tano, Ein Lan Lefsoach Lo. If, however, according to Rav Chisda, he doesn't come up with this idea of Gilgal, so basically, we don't suggest it to him. He's got to come up with it on his own, but we're not going to nudge him and say, hey, you know what, you got him against the ropes right now, so, you know, throw some more shvuahs on him. Hashviz Meshametas Menahan Emili, Shemitah. Shemitah will cancel a shvuah obligation. How do I know that? Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav, Amar Krav, Zed, Devar Shemitah, Afilu Dibor Meshametas. The word Dvar can be darshan, and that can be darshan, it is darshan. The word Dvar also is a, can come from the root Dibor, which means that not only does Shemitah cancel the monetary loan, it also cancels any Dibor, any speech that comes along with the monetary loan, i.e., the Shvuah obligation. It is a fair question to ask, if the monetary loan is gone and canceled, so why would there be a drasha, a need for a drasha, to uproot the Shvuah obligation? Meaning Shemitah cancels the monetary loan. That's it. Meaning it's off the books. And now you would think that there still would be a Shvuah obligation even though there's no monetary loan? Okay. So just I'm just raising a thought-provoking question. Why would we even need a drasha to remove the shvuah? Hadralach kol nishmaim. That is the end of the seventh parak, and now we begin the eighth parak of the Masech, the eighth parak, the final parak. And as I mentioned earlier today, we get to finish today two parakim of Shas in one day. Okay, as this one parak is a daf, and it's really as most as you can see, just turn the page. Most of it's Mishnah, and some of it is Gemara, but mostly Mishnah. What we're going to be learning in this parak is the Dalet Shomrim, the four different types of custodians there are in Halacha. Nothing new over here, as Rashi points out. This is a Mishnah that we learned back in Bava Metzia, Socheres HaPoalim, where we learn about the Dalet Shomrim. You go through the Parshios and Parshios Mishpatim, you'll note that the three Parshios over there, Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, and Shoel, right? The Parshios and Mishpatim are not super clear that the first one is Shomer Chinam, the second one is Shomer Sachar, the third one being a Shoel, that the Torah says Beferish. The fact that number one is Shomer Chinam, the second one is Shomer Sachar, that we learn out through Drashas, all this is discussed in Bav Metzia. And Rashi over here asks a really simple question. We're going to go through the Dalet Shomrim over here, and why? Why would we do that? Meaning, it's all been hashed out in Bav Metzia. We're really not going to learn anything new over here in terms of Dalet Shomrim. So Rashi answers, it's the long Rashi over here. It's the Rashi Divrei Maskal Nosei Sachar VaSocher. But I'm just going to paraphrase. Rashi says over here, the reason why we're repeating and reviewing all this information is for the following. In Shvuos, what are we focused on? The Shvuah. And the ramifications of a Shvuah. What are the ramifications of a Shvuah? So like we've been discussing a number of times, the ramifications of a Shvuah Sadayanim, meaning in that, a Shvuah Sashomrim, I should say better, in that if you're a custodian and you're making a Shvuah, denying a monetary claim, and your Shvuah is such where it would exempt you, when the truth of the matter is that you are actually obligated, so now you're on the hook. And what are you on the hook for? Reimbursement. Right, full restitution of the principal value, plus chomish. Chomish is 25%. Ask me about the math another time. And then you have to bring a karban, meaning the karban asham, that when a person denies having such a having having a deposit by you, so then you have to bring a carbon hashem as well. We, says Rashi, over here in the eighth parak of Masechta Shavuos, are really more interested in the ramifications of making a false shvua. That's why we're learning it over here. Meaning in Bat Metzia, we're really more concerned about the actual monetary claim and the monetary liability or exemption. Here, we're really, meaning we need to know about the monetary liability, but we're really more focused over here on when you're on the hook for a carbon and when you're not on the hook for a carbon. And as I said just a moment ago, but I just want to simply set it up nice and straightforward. When are you on the hook for a carbon? When your claim would produce an exemption. Meaning you're actually swearing to your version of the story, and your version of the story would produce an exemption. When the truth is that you're liable. If, let's say, you lied, but your claim is no better or worse than the truth. Let's say the truth of the matter is you're exempt. And you make up a story that also creates an exemption. So you lied, and there may be a shvuos bitui, which we're going to be discussing after the Mishnah, but you're not going to be chayev a carbon. Carbon is only when your version of the story creates an exemption, and the truth of the matter is that you're really liable. That's the entire Mishnah. I mean, I know we're going to read the Mishnah, and we're going to go through it, you know, I'm going to go through it rather quickly, but that's the entire point of the Mishnah. Arba shomim heim, there are four shomim. Shomer chinam shoel. The Mishnah over here first turns to the two extremes, right? The shomer chinam is the one who is watching something for no money. So in other words, basically, I am getting no benefit. I'm doing you all the service. And that means that my level of liability is at its baseline. It's basically nothing. Unless, of course, I'm poshea. If I'm negligent, okay, fine. But in other words, short of that, I'm going to be exempt under any most circumstances. On the other extreme is the shoel. The shoel is somebody who borrows something. I'm getting all the benefit. I'm not paying for the item. I am borrowing the item, making usage of the item. So there my level of liability is at its highest. And I'm going to have to pay you for everything with, again, exception. Let's say, mesa machmas malacha. Right? I'm working it the way it's normally worked, and it just dies. The animal dies, the lawnmower dies. Machmas malacha. Well, I'm just doing regular work with it. So under those circumstances, I'm exempt. But short of that, I am liable. And then you have your middle categories of shomer socher and a socher. Okay, so arba shomerim and shomer chinam v'ashol nosi socher v'asocher shomer chinam nishba lakol. So as far as the shomer chinam is concerned, so he makes a shvua on everything. V'ashol mishalem esakol, and the shoel makes it pays for everything. Again, the Mishnah over here is not speaking in absolutes, but in generalities, in sweeping generalities. If you're a shomer chinam, basically you're exempt, basically. And if you're a shoel, basically you have to pay. And then, osa sachar v'asocher, and if you're getting paid to watch, or if you're renting, nishban al shvur v'al shvuy v'al mesa, so here you're in the middle. And what are you going to be making a shvur, meaning what creates an exemption? If it breaks, if it was taken captive, if it dies on its own, if, however, it was lost or it was stolen, so then you're liable and then you're on the hook. So we have now four shomrim and we have three basic results. Shomer chinam, you're basically making a shvuah all the time. Shoel, you're basically paying all the time. Shomer sacher and socher, you're in the middle. Okay. Now, here we go. I'm going to read this quickly. It's going to be a dialogue between the owner of the item and the custodian. So I number this in my Mishnayos. Let's call this now dialogue number one. So I turn to the Shomer Chinam, I say, where's my ox? And his response to me is a dot. Now, the truth of the matter is, even if I'm not producing a factual report of what happened, it could be that it broke, could be that it was taken captive, it could be that it was stolen, could be that it was lost. Or let's say nishbar. My response to him is, it broke. And again, any one of these four things happen, even if what I'm not presenting is the truth, or nishba, or let's say I said it was taken captive. And any one of these four things happen, nignav, I say it was stolen. And any one of these four things happen, Avad, let's say I said it was lost. Vusha meso nishma o nishma o nignav. And any one of these four things happened. Mashbiech haniv amar amein. I swear to this event. Now, even though what I am not actually reflecting is what actually happened, otherwise known as lying, right? In other words, but still, pater. I don't bring a carbon. Because again, you go back to the rule that I set up in the beginning of the Mishnah. I only bring a carbon where my claim would produce an exemption when the actual fact is that I'm liable. Here, even though I'm not reporting the truth is I'm exempt. And even though my story, which is not actually the truth, also produces an exemption as well, under those circumstances, I don't bring a carbon shua. Again, you'll ask me the question, isn't he lying? Isn't that shua's bitui? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to ask that question. Dialogue number two. Heichan shari. So the owner says, where's my shur? Amalo eni yodea matasach. And my response is, I really don't know what you're talking about. Right? Who are you? So, v'hu shemeso nishbaru nishbaru nigna v'avan. And the truth of the matter is that you had it. Something happened to it that was not, that was beyond your control. Mashbiach anivam ramein pater. So, you make a shvua, you're going to be exempt from bringing a carbon. And again, because the truth of the matter is you're exempt. Even though you're not reflecting the truth, you're not saying the truth, but the truth is you're exempt. Dialogue number three. Heichan shari, amalo avad. So I say to him, I lost it. Now witnesses come along and said, that's some story that he put together. It was lost. You know what? He shechted it, he barbecued, he ate it. Lost. Good story. So anyway, so ma'idim ha'sha'achlo mashal misa karen. So and under those circumstances, now he has to pay principal. Now let's say after making a shvua, he now admits, you know what? I'm coming clean. I lied under oath. I'm really sorry. So Mishan Kerem v'chomish v'asham. So here we go. So now he plays back principal. Plus he adds a chomish. Plus he also brings a carbon asham. You only pay chomish and bring a carbon asham when you admit yourself that you lied under oath. Dialogue number four. Heichan shari v'armalo nignav. Where's my shur? I say to him, it was stolen. Now, it was stolen, but you know who the thief was. The shomer himself was the thief. This is what's called towing tainas ganav. When you claim it was stolen, and then witnesses report that you're the thief, so then meshamim tashlum kefal. Under these circumstances, you pay kefal. Meaning, kefal is for the actual thief, or the one who claims that it was stolen from him while he was a shomer. Now, if he comes clean on his own, so then he pays the principal plus chomish plus the carbon asham. Now, as long as we talked about Toin Tanis Ganav, the Mishnah just takes us on a small detour regarding both Toin Tanis Ganav and an actual Ganav himself. So here the Mishnah goes off on a small tangent. I go to someone in the market, I said, okay, you stole my shore. Now give it back to me. Who am I loganafti? And he says, what are you talking about? What, you're accusing me? You know I'm one of the best guys in the community. How could you say that about me? And witnesses come along and said, yeah, he stole it. A classic example where you're a thief. You didn't come clean with the item you stole. Witnesses now establish that you're a thief. Kefal. Now, tavachamach, misham tashlum arba v'chamisha. Now, if you shech the animal, you sell the animal after you stole it. So now, adding more avera, compounded knas, four or five times they have to pay the value of the original animal, depending on small animal, large animal. Right, now let's see, the thief sees the witnesses coming, and he knows that if the witnesses get to the court before he does, so he knows he's going to pay kefal. And so what does he do? Basically, he's going to come clean, even though his motivation is not really tshuva motivation. It's basically, let me save myself from kefal. Now, even though that's not the best motivation, it works. So, and he goes to court and he says, you know what? I stole. He got there before the witnesses. He reported to the court that he stole the item. So, then he makes a denial. Oh, but you know what? I didn't sell it, and I didn't shecht it. And then the witnesses finally catch up and they get to the court and they said, not only did this guy stole, but he also shechted and he also sold it. Or sold it, either one. So then he only pays Karen. Now, why does he only pay Karen over here? So Rashi points out, based on the Gemara that we learned back in Bava Metzia, you only pay, Bava Kama, you only pay Karen because once you're off from Kefal, there's no longer Dal Vehei. Because Kefal knocks off one of the punitive fines. And so since it knocks off one, you only chayv Dal Vehei when you're paying Kefal. But if you're not paying Kefal, so there's no such thing as a penalty of gimel v'dalid, and so therefore, as a total technicality, meaning right, it's not fair, so to say. But again, fair or not fair, this is all punitive fines by the Torah. You're still going to have to pay back the principal, but you're not going to be paying dal v'hei, even though you stole and you sold, or you stole and you shechted. Okay, that was the aside of the Mishnah, and now we return back to the dialogues. Amar l'shoa. So in dialogues 1, 2, 3, and 4, we were talking now to the Shomer Chinam. Now we are turning to the Shoel. And so here we have a dialogue between the owner of the item and the guy who borrowed it. Amar l'shoel hechen shari. Now remember, what's the ground rules for the Shoel? Basically, he's paying for everything. Again, with exception, but except for Mesa Machmas Malacha, but he's paying for everything. Amar l'shoel hechen shari. Amar lo. We turn to the top now of Memtesim and Beis. Mace. So it died. V'hush nishbar nignav avad, and it broke, it was taken captive, it was stolen, it was lost. Or let's say his claim is nishbar, it broke. V'hush shemeso nishbar nignav avad, or nishba, it was taken captive. V'hush shemeso nishbar nignav avad, nignav, it was stolen. V'hush shemeso nishbar nishba avad, avad, it was lost. So again, he's not telling the truth. But what he's saying is not going to change his liability, meaning what he's reporting is still going to cause him a liability. So he doesn't bring a carbon asham. And again, he doesn't bring a carbon asham because even though he didn't report the truth, but still, what he said would have created a liability. The truth would have created a liability. You only bring a carbon asham when your version of the story would create an exemption, and the truth is that you're liable. Only under those circumstances do you bring a carbon asham. Dialogue number 6. Heichan shari. Where's my shor? Amalo eini yodea ma'atasach. And he looks at you and he says, what are you talking about? V'ushameso nishbo nishbo nignav o nevan mashbechani v'amamein chayev. Yeah, so he'd be chayev under those circumstances. Because what is he trying to do? Create an exemption. The exemption he's creating is, I don't know what you're talking about. You're a crazy man. You didn't give me a shor. Like, what are you talking about? Obviously, that's a full denial, which would have created an exemption. And meanwhile, he took it. Something happened to it. He's liable. So because his version of the story would have created an exemption, therefore, he's chayv karban asham. Dialogue number 7. Amar lenose sachar v'asocher. So now we're talking to the middle guy, the middle shomer. Meaning the one who's not always liable and the one who's not always exempt. Depends. I say to him, Heichan Shari, Amar lo Mace. Now, his version of the story is the animal died. V'hush nishba or nishba. And that's not what happened. What actually happened is that the animal, either it broke or it was taken captive. Nishbar, his version of the story, it broke. V'hush meso nishba, and that's not really what happened. It died or it was taken captive. Nishba, his version of the story, taken captive. V'ushe meso nishbar. And what really happened, of course, is that it died or it broke. Nignav, his version of the story, stolen. V'ushe avad, and it was lost. Avad, his version of the story, it was lost. V'ushe nignav, and he says that it was stolen. Mashbechani v'amar amein chayev. So under these circumstances, he would be chayev. Again, because what he's doing is he's providing a version of the story where it would create an exemption. The truth of the matter is that he is liable, therefore he's chayev. Avad o nignav. Let's say his version of the story is it was stolen or it was lost. A claim which would create a liability. And what's the truth? V'ushemeis o nishba o nishba. And the truth of the matter is that onis, something happened that was beyond his control. Mashbiachani v'amar amein pater. So he'd be pater. Because again, you're only chayav a karban where your version would create an exemption, and the truth is that you're liable. Zeha klal. And then the Mishnah points out, now after having learning all these cases, all seven dialogues, call a Mishnah mechava lechova, umi patla lechova, pater. If you're changing the story, but it doesn't change liability, in other words, it's either going from one exemption to another, or from an obligation to an obligation, or your claim creates an obligation, and really the truth of the matter is you're exempt, which basically would make you a crazy person. But in other words, in any one of those circumstances, you wouldn't be chayv a carbon. When you chayv a carbon, asham, mechova lepitur chayv. I'm sorry. Mechova lepitur chayv. And then the Mishnah says, and if you're trying to be lenient on yourself, you're chayev. To be strict on yourself, you be pater. Okay. Adkan, that is the entirety of the Mishnah of the eighth parak of Shavuos. Man Tana Arba Shomrim. Who was the author of our Mishnah? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Baravua, Rabbi Meir. The author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So Amalei Rav LeRav Nachmika Tana Deleisa Arba Shomrim. What do you mean? The way the question was presented, strange question. Who holds of Dalet Shomrim? Meaning, who doesn't hold of Dalet Shomrim? Everyone holds of Dalet Shomrim. Amalei Hachika Minalach. So the Gemara says, okay, let's clarify the point. Mantana Damer Socher Kenosi Sacher. Dummy. Here's the question. Meaning, we know that there in the Torah describes three types of Shomrim: Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sacher, and Ashoa. Shomer Chinam, again, for the most part, exempt. Shoel, for the most part, liable. Shomer Sacher, you're getting paid to watch, you're in the middle. You're Chayv and Gneva Vaveda, and you're Pater from Onis. Fine. What the Torah does not acknowledge or does not discuss directly is a Socher, the guy who's renting. You know, it's easy to see how this can go in one of two directions. Now, when I'm renting an item, so I do get benefit from the item, but I'm paying for that benefit. So in other words, you can go in one of two ways with a socher. He can either be described as more like a shomer chinam, in that what's the shomer chinam? Shomer chinam gets no benefit and has all the responsibility, so therefore his level of liability goes all the way down. When it comes to the renter, even though he is benefiting, but he's paying for that benefit. So the benefit kind of is offset by the fact that you're paying for it. So you can view him like a shomer chinam. On the other hand, he is benefiting from it. Granted, he's paying for it, but he's benefiting from it, much like a Shomer Sachar is also benefiting. What's his benefit? His benefit comes in the form of payment. When it comes to the Socher, his benefit is coming from the form of he gets to use the item for himself. So maybe a Socher should be viewed as a Shomer Sachar. And where do we stand in terms of a Socher? We know where we stand. So Machlokas HaTanayim, where to put it categorically? Should we put it by a Shomer Chinam or should we put it by a Shomer Sacher? So that's what the Gemara wants to know. Where do I put the Socher? So the Gemara says, Man Tana Damer Socher Kenosei Sacher, Dami? Amar Rav Baravu, Rabbi Meir. So it's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. V'ha Rabbi Meir Ebchash Amin Alei. The Tanya, the Gemara here says, but you'll know, in the Babas, Baba Kama Bamatsia, twice in Baba Kama, I'm looking at the side over here, this is not my Bikias. Twice in Baba Kama, three times in Bamatsia. So we see the statement, we see this brisa, socher keif the mishalim, how does a socher pay? Meaning what level of liability does they have? Rabbi Meir amar kishom achinam. Rabbi Yehuda amar kenosei socher. So over here, machlokes tanayim. But where does Rabbi Meir come out? Rabbi Meir comes out on the side of treating him like a shom achinam, not like a shom socher. So Rabba Baravua ibcha tani. So the Gemara says, so Rabba Baravua, when he learns that brisa, he always flips that brisa around. So he has Rabbi Meir holding him like a shom socher, not Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. Okay, so in other words, whichever Tana it is, our Mishnah, clearly is siding with the version that a Socher is to be treated like a Shomer Sacher. Now the Gemara over here is bothered by one other technical aspect, which probably bothered you as well. We say Dal Shomrim. It's not really Dal Shomrim. It's really Gimel Shomrim. So the Gemara says, Hani Arba Havi Shlosha Havi. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Arba Shomrim V'dineim Shlosha. We'll have four categories, but in terms of how many halachic categories are there, there are really three. So in other words, because two of the shomrim are going to be going into one halachic category. Which one? Subject to a debate. But in other words, but they're really, you're right. In terms of levels of liability, here's the Shomer Chinam level, there's the Shoah level, the two extremes. There's that middle level, which we know Shomer Sachar for sure belongs. Where do we put the Socher? By the Shomer Chinam, by the Shomer Sachar. Machlokas, our Mishnah clearly is taking the position, it goes in the middle, it's a Shomer Sachar. Amar l'Shomer Chinam, Heichan Shari, Amar l'Echa B'Shuk, Amar l'Shomer, Heichan Shari, Amar lo Eini Yodea Matasach. Like, there were a whole bunch of headings that, I don't know how, but kind of just got caught up over here in the Gemara. Anyway, the Gemara discusses. Amar avakulam patur mishvur shomrim. V'chayav mishum shvur's bitui. So many examples in the Mishnah where it's false reporting. It's fake news. So, case after case in the Mishnah. Now, again, I know what the Mishnah is trying to do, right? The Mishnah knows what the Mishnah is trying to do because the Mishnah said at the end. In other words, even though you're giving false report, the only time you're chayav a karban is when your report would have created an exemption, and the truth is that you're liable. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. Okay, that's good. We get it. But you lied. So since you lied, are you subject now to a shvuz, be to a yes or no? You lied. So, Rav... So let me start the Gemara again. Amar Rav v'kulam patur mishvur shomrim v'chayav mishvur shvuz bitui. So Rav says, that's right. You're chay shvuz bitui. Meaning, you lied. You go back to the third parak of the Masechta, and basically, you know the rule. When you lie about something, and you swear to the effect, you're chay on a shvuz bitui. So, and our Mishnah, why doesn't our Mishnah mention it? Because it's not the focus of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah over here is just focused on when you'd be subject to Shvuas HaShomrim. But in other words, but what you have to do is you have to take in the totality of the picture. When you go back to the third parak and you remind ourselves, yes, that's true. On a Shvuas HaShomrim standpoint, you're exempt. On a Shvuas Bitui standpoint, you're liable. Shmuel Amar Apatur Mishum Shvuas Bitui. And Shmuel's of the opinion, no, you're not going to be subject to Shvuas Bitui. Now, Now, why would that be? Because Shmuel Savar Leisa B'Lahaba. Rav Savar Isa B'Lahavahein. So the Gemara says, because you remember, we go back to a sugya, which quite frankly, was one of the more difficult sugyas that we discussed in our Masechta, and that is that a shvuas bitui, it has to be flippable. And according to Rav, you has to be both, has to be able to be said in the past and in the future. And if it can't be formulated in both ways, Wait one second. So according to Shmuel, it has to be said both in the past and in the future. And according to Rav, it has to be flipped from the negative to the positive. So the Gemara says, so according to Rav, the only criteria that makes a shvuas bitui shvuas bitui is that it has to be flipped from negative to positive. As long as you could do that, then it's a shvuas bitui. According to Shmuel, it has to be flipped from the past to the future. And if you can't flip it that way, so then it's not a shvuas bitui. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? It's all well and good. And we appreciate that we're plugging in the machlokas Rav and Shmuel over here, but we learned it already. And basically what bothers the Gemara is that if we know it already, why do we need to review it over here? So I'd like to say, because it's a difficult point, and we'd like to review it in general, but the Gemara over here gives a better answer, of course. So the Gemara says, Chadazina deid mashua shazarak ponit sor liyam shua shalo zarak. Let's say I make a shua about that person where he threw something into the river. So is that a shvuas bitui? I lied and didn't report correctly. So Rav Amar Chayv Shmuel Amar Pater. So Rav says you're Chayv, Shmuel says Pater. Because according to Rav, what's the only criteria? Flipping it from negative to positive. According to Shmuel, what's the criteria? Flipping it from past to the future. Now, in the past, everything I said is true or not true. I can't control the future about somebody else. Rav Amar Chayv Disa B'Lavahein. Shmuel Amar Pater D'Leisa B'Lahaba. So tzricha. So even though I know this machlokus already, I still need it over here. Why do I need it over here? Diyash min baha ba kama rab mishum de menashe ki mishtava. Abahach de beidina mashbi alei, ema modele de shmua. So the Gemara says, over here, I might have thought it to be different. Why? Because this is not a shvua that is induced on your own. You're in the court. Based in pointing you and saying, he's making a claim against you, you're a shomer, he's saying that you're responsible. What's your side of the story? Oh, really? Now we're going to adjure you. So the truth of the matter is that Shavuot is coming from Beis Din. And I might have thought that this case would be different. And why would I have thought this case is different? Kid Rabbi Ami. The Am Rabbi Ami called Shavuot Shazayan Mashmir Masoin Chayev Allah Mishum Shavuot Bitui. Because Rabbi Ami happens to be of the opinion that this is not only a distinction, it actually is true. Rabbi Ami says that when Beis Din makes you make a Shavuot, even though you're lying, you would be Chayev Shavuot Shomrim, but you would not be Chayev Shavuot Bitui. For reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment. So I might have therefore thought that this machlokas Rav and Shmuel shouldn't relate over here, because this is a shua made by the Dayanim, forced upon you by the Dayanim. And if I had Shmuel's position over here, so over here there would be an exemption. But because Beis Din is making you make the shua. But previously maybe he agrees to Rav. Gufa. And so now that we learn that Rabbi Ami makes this distinction, on what basis? Gufa, Am Rabbi Ami Kol Shuvah Shadayim Mashbim Maso Ein Ba Mishum Shuvah Bitui Shenemar O Nefesh Ki Si Shavala Vate Besfasayim Me Atzmo. So when the word Ki means you did it on your own, Kidere Shlakish Tamer Shlakish Ki Mishtamish Bar B'Lashamus. When you see the word Ki, so Ki can mean one of four things: E, if; Dilma, perhaps; Ella, rather; Daha, so that. And in this context, when it says ki sishava, it means if I'm doing this on my own prerogative, nobody's instructing me to do so, then and only then am I going to be chayav shvuos bitui. Otherwise, I'm not chayav shvuos bitui. Rav Elazar amar kulam patur mishvuos shomrim v'chayav mishum shvuos bitui. Rav Elazar is of the opinion that in all these cases that we mentioned in our Mishnah, you would be exempt from a shvuos shomer, meaning when your fake version of the story does not create an exemption, it still creates a liability, or didn't change the fact that you're exempt, but you lied. So in all the cases, you would be chayiv eishvos bitui, chutz me'ini yodea ma'atasach. Deshol v'geneva v'aveda. Denosei sachar v'asha asocha shu chayiv sharei kafran mamon. With exception to the case of denial, where I simply say, I don't know what you're talking about, of the case of the shoal, and geneva v'aveda of denosei sachar, and the socher, so in those cases you would be chayiv shari kofar mammon, because you're a kofar b'mammon, and since you're a kofar b'mammon by making that denial, so therefore you would be chayiv on the shua shomer, and therefore be putter from the shvuos bitui. Hajal achar b'shomer v'slichal ha'masecha shvuos. That is the end of the masechta. So we'll wrap it up over here.